my beloved people this morning from the bulletin. First of all, I draw your attention that next Sunday we change the clocks. So don't forget this. You go forward 1 hour. In the springtime, we go forward. They say you spring forward. That's easy to remember. So we change the clocks next Sunday. Maybe sometime by some great gift of somebody, they will stop this foolishness and leave it alone or do something with it and leave it be. But at any rate, we have to put up with what our superiors tell us. In this week's bulletin, you will find the schedule for the various Easter services that we will have in this church. Some of these, of course, will be difficult to attend, I'm sure of that. But to the best of our abilities, let us try to observe a good Holy Week. We are certainly trying to get everything in readiness, and there is a lot of work involved in being prepared for Holy Week. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, it is an easy matter for us to become ill-formed, if I may use that word, concerning our religious obligations and our religious duties and our religious inclinations. It is plain and obvious to see that at this particular crossroad that we are in the point of at the moment, that there are sources of information that are contradictory. And it is an easy matter for us to become confused, disillusioned, worried as to what is right and what is wrong. That we become confused is something, of course, that we cannot help. Because the things that are bombarded with are indeed confusing in themselves. When you do find, unfortunately, a house divided against itself, and the only logical outcome for this is that house falls upon house. That doctrine falls upon doctrine and all the rest. And at this moment in our lives, we are faced with the not possibility, because it is not possible, but at least we're faced with the presentation. I'll use that word. We're faced with the presentation that everything that was taught to us in past days has to be disregarded. And whereas in former times we at least said, we at least tried to prove that what was taught in former times was wrong, today we are going to the very source of former times. And we are going to those sources of former times that caused a great confusion. And we are going to those sources, and somehow or other, we are saying that maybe that went wrong. Maybe we are wrong. And this undoubtedly destabilizes us. We must not become destabilized. If once we have learned that 2 + 2 = 4, it appears to me that our discussion concerning 2 + 2 has come to an end. But as we go through our lives and we pick up this virus that we speak of, you know, and you can't help but pick it up. If you walk through a room that is full of infection, it is impossible for you not to pick up some of the infection. It's impossible. And you carry it with you. What can be worse than mental infection? And as we go about and we talk here and we read that and we read the other thing, it is very easy for us to get the infection. And this comes to us from both sides. Let us not go and run, as we have already said. Let us not run to the altar of tradition and expect to find there stability. There's not stability there either. Perhaps I can give you a case in point that there is a certain source of information, a priest, as a matter of fact, who is rather well known for his attack on absolutely everything. There is nothing that this man does not attack. There's a second man who has now, or did, promote and probably furnish this priest with money, no question, which means support. Well, the man who had the money, for some strange reason, the second man, we get a communication from him here about 6-7 weeks ago. And he says, this priest undoubtedly is the devil himself. And we are not to believe anything at all that he has to say. That was 6 weeks ago. 2 days ago, we get another letter from this same man number two, full of many of this priest's documents. So you see, it's one day on and one day off, one day on and one day off. And this destabilizes us. When something is once found out to be true, our discussion has to stop. We must stop worrying about all of this material that is literally flooding us. It's like a huge tidal wave. And we're covered up with it. We have only one thing to keep in mind, my beloved people, especially during these days of Lent. And that is, say your prayers, get on your knees, tell God you love him, come to church on Sunday, mind your own business, and if we could cut off the wires of the telephone, it'd be the greatest blessing on earth. But we can't very well do that. But keep the doors of your houses closed. And the less you have contact with others, the happier you will be. Keep your contact focused only on God. And during these days of Lent, this is where we must focus our attention, God, and God alone. There are certain things that are coming in the bulletin that I think some people might take some exception to, but again, I feel that our bulletins have to present some kind of explanation for the Catholic experience. And we try to be as accurate as we can. And I pass them around beforehand to the various members in the community. And they are quick to judge good, bad, or indifferent. Usually it's bad. And I have to go back and rework something. They're very critical. And that's the way it should be. That's why I let them see it, so that I can be criticized and get somebody else's view as to what is right and what is wrong. But the main thing after this is over and we have protected our Holy Eucharist, that's all that is important, my beloved people. The protection of our Blessed Eucharist. That's where you will find all of your consolation. Go there and talk to our Lord. Use the Eucharist for your serenity, your stability, and all else that goes with being associated with the Eucharist. If you are under the shadow of the Eucharist, you have nothing to worry about. Remember that our Holy Catholic religion has always been reasonable, and the Holy Catholic religion continues to be reasonable. It is neither too liberal on one side nor too strict on the other side. If you look at it correctly, you will see that it's focused 2020 on life. And it makes sense. And as we see our little children growing up, we need to present to them true Catholicity, true understanding, because they are walking into a world that we cannot grasp the meaning of. We older ones, though, of course, we pray that God will keep us here long enough to get over the hump, you cross and pass the dam. But what have our children got to look forward to, and our grandchildren? That's where the tragedy is. So, we are approaching the great and holy days of Lent. Lent next week will be half over, be better than half over already. Be Lectare Sunday, and you will see the church dressed in rose color and the priest wearing rose vestments. And you will hear the music on the organ slightly. It is a day of a little bit of jubilation. But we must be reminded that right after that, we go into Lent wholeheartedly. Let us use these remaining days of Lent in penance, in mortification, in reparation, in prayer. We have to do this, dear people. This is where we get the attention of Almighty God. It is our small act of reparation that will get His attention. We have to do that. And we will, because of that, we will find that we ourselves will experience a greater degree of peace, a greater degree of serenity. If there are members in our families, and they probably are, who simply cannot see as we see, let us not analyze the condition. Let us not analyze the situation, because there's nothing that we can do about it except prayer. To argue, to debate, to confront, to present, whatever, you know yourselves how far this gets us. It gets us up a blind alley every time, and it introduces and generates and nourishes discouragement, anger, separation, and all the rest. let's go to where, to the one, the only one who can do something about it, as God himself. He is the only one who can bring back the stabilized house. He is the only one who can take that house and bring it back together again. He is the only one who can bring East and West together. We can't do it. But we have not yet come to the conclusion that we cannot do it. We're still trying. We've got now approaching 40 years of this. And you remember that the Israelites were 40 years in the desert. And that none of those who started out and who got involved in wrong deceptions right away, that none of those who helped build the golden calf, they wandered and wandered in the wastes. They were lost and stayed lost until God could see that all of those were dead. And that none of those were allowed or permitted to enter the land that was promised them. The same thing, my beloved people, might be happening right now. We're looking for something enormous to happen. Nothing enormous is going to happen. That is, from the physical point of view. That which is enormous is already taking place. It's already taking place in the heart of man. And that is the greatest of enormity right there. And these 40 years, we are hitting the 40th about year. Let us pray that at this time it may please Almighty God take us and lead us and show us and point out the direction of where we're supposed to go. And that we will find the peace and the serenity once again that our parents enjoyed. That's all we've got to think about. We have been struggling. We have been groping. We have been wandering. We have been lost in this desert that we're in for 40 years, come up this year. And we have been lost much more seriously than were the early Hebrews as they wandered in not a very large area, lost for 40 years, going around in circles, never finding the way. And the thing that is frightening, above all else, that Almighty God does work in mysterious ways. Look at what Moses did. Look at the great and terrible suffering that Moses endured over those 40 years. Suffering was intense. And simply and only because he struck the rock two times. That's all he did. He struck the rock twice. And simply for that one little act of doubt. After all of his suffering, he was not permitted to enter. You see how delicate our association with Almighty God really and truly is? How very delicate. The very man who endured all of it. Imagine moving that assemblage of people and all of the heartache and the difficulty and the inconvenience and the suffering that was involved. But simply because this man had one little momentary doubt, he was punished. Pray for each other. Pray for us. Because we are given lots of opportunity for doubt. Don't doubt God. You love him. He loves you. And you have to remind him, not only just every day, but many times during the day, of your love for him. And that it is your only purpose to please him. That's why you're here. That's why you see us here this morning. Our only reason is to please him. And in due time, I'm sure, because he has to, he will lead us through the gates. And we will be there. Pray during these days remaining in Lent with all your might. Leave nothing unturned. And give to him everything you can, because there is our answer. But we have to see it, appreciate it, and do it. When we have the entire globe telling us, no, 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 that's a lot of foolishness. That's old wives' tales. We are now a modern people, and we don't pay. Well, that's a bunch of foolishness. It's not foolishness. If that foolishness were to remove itself from you just for an instant, or from us, just for an instant, there'd be nothing left of us. Because we depend on that foolishness totally and entirely and completely. So pray for us, we pray for you. And may God bless us, everyone, as we struggle, as we are struggling through this desert. Hotter deserts, hotter sands have never been for the feet of man than what we're walking through. They have never been hotter. And the suffering has never been greater than we're suffering and enduring at the present moment. So be encouraged. Give us your strength as we turn around and give you back our strength. And together we hope to walk through that desert and successfully succeed, my beloved people.